Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
All the wisdom you need is found in Christ alone. All of the strength you need to live a life for the glory of God is found in Christ alone. All of the grace, all of the peace, all of the love, all of the joy, all that you need is available to you in Christ and in Christ alone.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Part of becoming spiritually mature is knowing what to avoid. There were many false teachings in ancient Colossae, and there are many deceptions and distractions in our world today. But today on The Verdict, we're identifying four mindsets to avoid, because Christ is sufficient. So let's join Pastor John Monroe as he continues this timely study in the book of Colossians with a message titled, In Christ Alone.
As we seek to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, it's inevitable that we will encounter false teaching. As we're learning in our study of the book of Colossians, Paul deals with the false teaching in a very straightforward way, and then reminds us of the overall answer, to embrace Christ and Christ alone. If Jesus Christ is God, why would we need anyone or anything else? Paul makes the astonishing statement that in Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. It is in Colossians where we find some of the most in-depth passages on the supremacy of Christ as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. So let's return to Colossians chapter 2.
Colossians 2 then, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. First of all, from verse 8, we can see that we are to avoid the falsehoods of philosophies. Paul is saying, avoid the falsehoods of philosophies. Here is a warning. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. This verb, take captive, the only occurrence in the New Testament here, could be translated, don't let anyone kidnap you. It's the word used of the terrorist carrying away, kidnapping his victim. So the word picture is a very vivid one of someone being carried away from the truth into the slavery, into the bondage of error. Paul is saying, be very careful. Don't be hijacked by false teaching. Here is a warning. Be discerning. Don't be naive and gullible. We saw that last week from verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. So don't take you captive, says Paul, by philosophy and empty deceit. Philosophy, our English word philosophy, is just a literal translation of this Greek word, which means literally a lover of wisdom. Philosophy. But it would include here philosophy in our modern sense of the word, but also includes religions, belief systems, and world views. Paul is not denigrating philosophy in general, but he is dealing with empty, hollow, deceptive philosophies and religions. Paul is answering bad philosophy, false religion, deceptive world views. These falsehoods were impacting the church at Colossae, and these falsehoods, this false philosophy, this empty deceit, was a mixture, as we read the book of Colossians, probably, of Jewish legalism and pagan mysticism. These false teachers promised a higher knowledge, a deeper insight. They promised a kind of super spirituality. Sounded very attractive, doesn't it? But Paul is warning the Colossians to watch out that they are not taken captive, that they're not held hostage by this hollow teaching, by these plausible, persuasive arguments which promise so much but deliver nothing. Now here in verse 8, Paul gives us three reasons for the warning. First of all, he says this philosophy and empty deceit is according to human tradition. Three reasons for the warning. First of all, it's according to human tradition. The Colossians had received divine revelation. Paul has said in verses 6 and 7 that they received Christ the Lord. But this deceptive philosophy, as all false teaching does, has its origins in man and not in God. It was human tradition. Remember at the time of Jesus, the Pharisees neglected the commandments of God and held to the tradition of men. So our Lord says in Mark 7, verses 8 and 9 to the Pharisees, "You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." There's always a danger for us to do that, isn't there? To be attracted to something which is human, perhaps a human tradition. So I ask you, do your beliefs about the way of salvation, your views of doctrine, your views of the church, your views of baptism, do they come from the Word of God, or could they be merely human traditions which have been handed down to you by your parents, by grandparents, or by your church? It's very easy, isn't it, to be held captive by these human traditions, particularly if they have been communicated to us by people that we respect. But could it be that you are in danger of rejecting biblical truth, not because it is not true, but because it conflicts with what you have been traditionally taught, perhaps in your own home, or in a creed, or in a church that you were raised? We are not to base our beliefs, our doctrine, our lifestyles on human tradition. But there's a second reason Paul gives, verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world." One of the most difficult phrases in Colossians to understand. This false philosophy, this teaching, seems to have been inspired by some cosmic powers and principalities. It was, in fact, demonic. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, of deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. A kind of paganism, a worship of the elements of the earth, of the water, of air and fire. The worship of false gods and goddesses. We thought the other day of pantheism, which is so prevalent in our society today, portrayed by our media. A worship of nature, that God is all and all is God. False philosophy, empty deceit. Paul is saying, don't be taken captive by that kind of stuff. It's very enticing, it's very plausible, it sounds so sophisticated. But notice the third reason, and the most important of all, that this philosophy, that this empty deceit was not only according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, says Paul, and not according to Christ. That's it. This is the ultimate reason why it is empty, why it's a sham, why it is deceptive. It is not according to Christ. Anything which detracts from Christ, which depreciates Christ, or seeks to add to the person and work of Christ is not from God and must be rejected. How is it we get taken in by some cult, some new spirituality? If you're engaged in reading about something like that or speaking to someone like that, ask them what they think about Christ. Invariably, there is false doctrine regarding the person and work of our Savior. We are bombarded with this false philosophy, with this empty deceit. Stephen Ayer, in his book, Defeating the Dragons of the World, mentioned several, and I've adapted and added to some of them. Here are four common mindsets which I think easily ensnare us and delude us. First of all, materialism. Materialism is a real snare, I would suggest, for all of us. Here is another one. Hedonism, the love of pleasure. What's important in life is my personal pleasure, is my enjoyment. That really is all that matters. The snare, I am what I enjoy. Here is another mindset, relativism. It doesn't matter what I believe as long as I believe something. Josh McDowell refers to a survey among, quote, professed born-again church youth. The survey defines born-again church youth as those who say they have personally trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and if they were to die today, they would go to heaven because Jesus is their Savior and has forgiven them of their sins. You say they're pretty good young people, right? Here's the statistic. 91% of professed born-again church-attending youth say there is no absolute truth. Do you get the figure? 91%. This tidal wave of relativism is swamping our churches, is swamping the evangelical church and the evangelical home, and most of us are totally unaware of it. The Bible is just another book. Interesting, but is not our authority. Christ, interesting person, figure of love, but only one option of many. I'm okay, you're okay. Talk about being taken captive from the truth into the slavery of error. The snare of relativism, I am whatever I want to believe. The result, truth now is based on my personal experience. Truth is based on my opinion. And most frightening of all, truth is based on my feelings. Don't you hear people saying, I'm not comfortable with a God who would send anyone to hell? As if God is going to redefine himself based on your comfort level. How ridiculous. I'm not comfortable with saying that Jesus is the only way. It's based on my feelings. Truth then is redefined. Instead of truth being revealed as it is in true Christianity, God is a God who reveals himself, this God of absolute truth, through the process of inspiration, gives us a true, infallible, inerrant word, which is totally true, absolute truth, authoritative. Now we define what we want, how we do church, how we live, based on my feelings. Here is the fourth common mindset which ensnares us. Cultural Christianity, religion. What matters is outward conformity, putting on an appearance. We're very good at this one, aren't we? Giving the right answers. What people think of me and my family. The snare, I must be okay because I go to church and people think I'm a nice guy. Of course, I'm careful that they don't really know me. The result, hypocrisy. A failure to integrate our beliefs into all areas of our life. Religious activity, but no personal reality. Claiming a personal relationship with Christ, but no obedience to Christ. An outward profession of faith, but no inner possession of saving faith. Do you feel yourself ensnared by any of these? It would be a brave man, a brave woman today that would stand up and say, oh, these things don't affect me. Let's face it, they bombard all of us. Materialism, hedonism, relativism, cultural Christianity. Paul says they are not according to Christ. Avoid, verse 8, the falsehoods of philosophies. But verses 9 and 10 now, here's the answer. Yes, avoid the falsehoods of philosophies, but secondly, enjoy the fullness of Christ. Something to avoid, something to enjoy. Verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Mind-blowing verses, aren't they? Paul is saying that the fullness of deity, yes, the fullness of deity dwells in Christ bodily. The reason why the Colossians should have nothing to do with the falsehood of these philosophies is because these philosophies are not Christ-centered. In Christ, there is the whole fullness of deity dwelling. If that is true, and it is, and Paul has proved his case earlier in the epistle, if that is true, it's utterly absurd to pursue anyone or anything other than Christ and Christ alone. Look again at verse 9. That expression, the whole fullness, so translated in the ESV, refers to the totality of God's powers and attributes. Christ is the one and only mediator between God and man, and he is the very embodiment of the fullness of deity. Paul, by emphasizing that the whole fullness of deity, verse 9, dwells in Christ bodily, is emphasizing the true humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The false teachers may well have been saying that Christ was not truly human, but Jesus took a true body. Jesus, I remind you, was a real man. Apart from sin, the human body of Jesus was identical with ours. The same physiology, the same biochemistry. He grew in wisdom. He grew in physical stature. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was weary. He cried. He sweated. He bled. And he died. A true man. The present tense of dwells here in this verse emphasizes also that Jesus Christ is presently fully God and fully man. And Paul is saying here in verse 10 that believers are filled in Christ, this one who rules over the whole universe. Verse 10, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Paul's argument, and it's a profound one, is that Christ is the fullness of God. And as we are in Christ, we have all of the fullness that we can ever possess. Do you get that? Christ is the fullness of God. And as we are in Christ, we who are true believers in Christ, we who are in Christ have all of the fullness that we can ever possess. You see, this false teaching promised a higher knowledge, a greater enlightenment, and in so doing, denied the sufficiency and the supremacy of Christ. But Paul is saying, you're complete in Christ and in Christ alone. You don't need anyone else. You need nothing else. Why would you pursue these deceptive philosophies? Completeness and fulfillment are never found in these false philosophies, in that false teaching. Christ is the head, verse 10, of all rule and authority. He is sovereign over all of the angels, over all of the demons, over Satan himself. He is the Lord of human history. He's Lord of the universe, Lord of eternity. Nothing can dethrone Christ. Believers are in him, and he is in us. We are filled with his fullness. Do you realize, brother and sister, that all you need of Christ is available to you? All you need to live a godly life, all you need to live a fulfilling life, all you need to know God's purposes for your life is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Make sure you know Christ. Here is something to meditate on this week. Without Christ in your life, you will never be full. Without Christ in your life, you will always have a sense of being incomplete, of being empty, of being dissatisfied, a sense of missing out in life. Without Christ, you will never know the purpose of your existence. The fullness of life does not flow, Paul is saying, from human traditions. It doesn't flow from rules and legalism. It doesn't flow from some mystical spirituality. It doesn't flow from self empowerment that we empower ourselves and we dig deep within ourselves and create our own reality and all of that. No, the fullness of life flows from experiencing the fullness of Christ. Will you grasp that? The fullness of life flows from experiencing the fullness of Christ. All the wisdom you need is found in Christ alone. All of the strength you need, my dear sister, to live a life for the glory of God is found in Christ alone. All of the grace, all of the peace, all of the love, all of the joy, All that you need is available to you in Christ and in Christ alone. Therefore, draw from His fullness. You have Christ. You need no other. Look to Christ alone for all you need. All your wisdom, all your direction, all your peace, all your joy. Enjoy the fullness of Christ. That's why at church we try to exalt Christ, to lift up Christ in our worship, in all we do. In Him dwells all the fullness of the deity in bodily form. And this Christ is in us. Therefore, enjoy the fullness of Christ. Charles Wesley, John Wesley's brother, the great hymn writer, writes, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in Thee I find." Have you experienced that? The great St. Augustine, in a prayer, a famous prayer to God, says, "Thou hast created us for Thyself, and our hearts can never rest until they rest in Thee." Is that so difficult to understand? The God who created you, sends His Son in grace to redeem you, to transform you, to forgive your sins, that all you need to be all that God intends is found in Christ and Christ alone. A wee boy goes to Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, and he stands in the Atlantic Ocean and fills his pail with the ocean. His pail, we could say, is filled with the fullness of the Atlantic. All that the little boy can hold is available to him. All of the sea he needs, all of the sea he can hold is there. He is in the sea, and the sea is in him, in his pail. Brothers and sisters, we are in Christ, and He is in us. Only the infinite Christ can hold the fullness of deity. But out of that infinite fullness of Christ, all of our needs are met and more. Therefore, don't settle for less. Avoid the falsehood of these philosophies and empty deceit. Embrace and taste and enjoy the fullness of Christ and Christ alone.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, In Christ Alone. John has more to share in just a moment, so stay tuned. Well, as we continue our study in the book of Colossians, we'd like to send you a special resource that helps you further understand the promises of God on salvation. It's a wonderful booklet written by John titled, Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. By sharing details of his personal testimony and providing a thorough examination of Scripture, John answers the tough questions you may have about the implications of salvation and what it means to be truly secure in God's grace. As a thank you to our listeners, we're offering this special resource absolutely free. Request your copy by mail or download by visiting calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for monthly email updates from John. Now, before we close, let me invite you to play a part in sharing these daily biblical messages with a financial gift of any amount. Your generous contributions will help deliver the gift of God's Word to new listeners in your community and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. On our website, you can also learn how to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And no matter where you're listening from, you can join us each Sunday through our live stream online. To learn more, visit calvarychurch.com. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you been tempted to embrace some attractive teaching, which may be the latest trend in Christianity? Have you ever fallen for the lie that Jesus Christ is not enough? But how can you add to Christ if He's God? Paul describes Christ's followers as being in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we have all of the fullness that we could ever possess. Our Lord is supreme, and His grace all-sufficient. Next time we continue in Colossians and learn we are in fact united to Christ Himself.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.